Thank you, Scott. Thanks to my colleagues for their presentations. I just want to say that I have no relationships to disclose. So here's just a quick outline of what I'm going to present today. I'm going to start, it's kind of the lifeline of my practicum from start to end. So I'm going to start with how I found my practicum. Before I started my MPH at BU, I had spent time living and working in Tanzania and Kenya with orphans and vulnerable children in the rural areas, and I found this work to be both challenging and rewarding. But above everything else, I really loved the people that I was working and living with. So when it came time to find a practicum, I knew that I wanted to return to this region of the world. I had learned Swahili, and I had felt like I had gotten a handle on the culture. Of course, each tribe has different cultural aspects, but I'd felt like I'd at least gotten to meet people of different tribes and become comfortable with that. And since I was only going to be doing my practicum for 4 months, I wanted to return to a place where I had a grasp on the language and the culture. So I found my practicum site through my network in northern Tanzania. I had previously lived and worked at the Rift Valley Children's Village, which is a children's home for orphans in northern Tanzania. And during my time there, the children were treated at the Foundation for African Medicine and Education, which is a medical clinic. And so through the children's village, I was connected with the volunteer coordinator at the clinic. And I spoke to her and told her, you know, what I was looking to do. And immediately they said that that was something they were interested in. They connected me with their health education consultant and former staff members so I could begin planning my program. While I knew I wanted to return to Tanzania, I knew that I didn't have funds in my bank account to make that possible, and I didn't want to take on further loans or further debt while doing this. So I made it my personal mission to fully fund this entire thing. So I started by doing research on the internet to see what available scholarships were out there, and I initially applied for two, the Sarah's Wish Foundation, which you see up there, and another similar scholarship. I was gratefully awarded the Sarah's Wish Foundation scholarship for $15, which helped cover my room and board the entire time I was there. I also reached out to my college and high school to see if they offered any alumni scholarships. I thought it was a long reach, but it actually turned out that my high school had an alumni association that gave intern stipends, and that came in the form of Sky Miles, and my flight, my full round-trip flight, was covered. And I also reached out to a family friend who I knew worked in the philanthropy business, and he knew of somebody who was interested in work in East Africa, and this individual gave me $1,500. So I figured it was very unlikely, but I just emailed a lot of people. And the reason I believe I was successful in raising these funds is because I started very early. I started 10 months before I left to go over there, which actually ended up being very important because some of the scholarships closed almost 8 months before I went. So if I hadn't started looking, they wouldn't have been available. Also, I was polite in all my interactions with potential donors. I know that seems very obvious, but in our daily lives, you can get busy, forget to say thank you, forget certain things you should write in an email or in a phone call. So I think that was very important. You know, these people aren't obliged to give you any money, so being kind and polite is very helpful. Be sure to follow up with individuals or organizations that you've reached out to see if they can give you money. People are very busy, so sending a follow-up email is always good. And lastly, don't be afraid of rejection. I reached out to the gym that I went to and asked if they would send out something about what I was doing. I didn't make a dime off that, but I got a lot of well wishes, and I think all of the efforts combined got me to where I was. So the details of my practicum. I was a community public health intern for the Foundation for African Medicine and Education, which is located in Karatu, Tanzania, which is about 3 hours north of Arusha, and if anyone's ever been to northern Tanzania, it's about 30 minutes from the Ngorongoro crater. My goal for my practicum was to improve the health of the local community through increased availability and quality of health education. As you can hear in the title of the Foundation for African Medicine and Education, it was supposed to be more than just the medicine in the clinic. It was supposed to be the education, but that had kind of fell by the wayside. So I achieved this by designing and implementing health education curriculum for the FAME clinics, both the static clinic that was in Karatu, as well as mobile clinics at the Children's Village and mobile clinics in the Lake Eyasi region. And I also taught health education at a local school. Before I left for my practicum, I had completed a full year of classes at BU, and these classes, a few of which I've put up here, were mostly theoretical knowledge, and so while I was in Tanzania, I was actually able to apply the knowledge I had learned in the classroom. For example, my teaching public health course, back in Boston, I had designed a course on prevention of diarrhea, and I was able to take the framework of this course and design other courses on specific topics that were relevant to the area and also put them within the constraints of the community. So in terms of cultural competency, language, it was really important for me that my audience understood the messages I was getting across. I taught health education at an English medium school, so the kids were all supposed to be fluent in English, and everything was taught in English. However, starting with the young classes, I co-taught with their teacher, so she could translate as needed just to be sure that all the messages were getting across and they weren't missing anything. In terms of literacy, when a population isn't literate, it requires you to really think outside the box. So I had to, you know, create posters with images, did a lot of hands-on learning, and we also utilized a lot of videos that had been created. I didn't reinvent the wheel and create my own videos, but there are a lot of great videos on malaria, on family planning, STDs, and we would play those. We'd charge up the laptop before we went on mobile clinics, and we'd play those for the audience, and those were a huge hit. In terms of gender roles, while it was frustrating at times, kind of going what Joanne and Teddy were saying, it's important to remember how important culture is. And I remember vividly going to the school one day just wearing pants and one of the female teachers being shocked that I was wearing pants and I just had forgot to put on a skirt. In the clinic it wasn't a big deal, but at the school it was a really big deal, and I think I offended them and never felt as comfortable as I did after. So while it might not seem like a big deal, it really is. And then utilizing local manpower to empower and create trust when we were on our mobile medical clinics, we would hire local translators to translate into the tribal tongue, and that gave those individuals a sense of empowerment, a small income for the days they were working, and also trust within the community. In terms of challenges, there were quite a lot. It was an incredibly rewarding experience, but it did have its challenges. In terms of societal norms, my curriculum worked to address some of the inequalities within society, but I was only there for 4 months, and I wasn't going to change things that were going on in society during that time. So I hope just to present them, have people think that, you know, they didn't always have to be like this forever. It's possible to create change. Secondly, behavior change is hard. I was working to do a lot of things on hand washing and hygiene, and I specifically remember being out on one of the mobile clinics, and I was with one of our health drama troop leaders, as well as a local leader who spoke the local language, and we were speaking to the population about not spitting in public and covering your mouth when you cough. And while we were doing it, there were just people spitting right in front of us, and we were doing it to tell them that there was TB in the community and they really needed to remove themselves and they needed to spit and cover their mouths, and it just didn't really seem to be a priority. However, when I worked with the kids at the school, they were so excited about learning this stuff. When we talked about hand washing, they immediately wanted to run out, go wash their hands, use the soap. So I found that there was really a difference on age. And as everyone has discussed, time runs very differently, especially on the East Coast in the U.S. where everyone's in such a hurry to do everything. When I was in Tanzania, time was not as important. But I think there's a key message there. I took time every day to have tea with my colleagues, And I think that created a trust that I couldn't have built any other way, no matter how great the work I produced was. If I hadn't have taken the time out of my day to sit with them, the respect wouldn't have been there. Lastly, 4 months wasn't nearly enough time. It took probably a month just to get comfortable with everyone there. And then I felt like at the end of 3 months, I really was making progress, and then it was time to leave. So I'm grateful that I had 4 months, but 6 months would be great. A year would be great. In terms of the benefits to the organization that I was with, I left them with improved health education materials. I created posters. I created pamphlets for patients to take. I also increased the access to these materials. They had some great materials that they had from the Ministry of Health, from other larger nonprofit organizations that were sitting in a box in an office. So I just kind of got these out from under the dust and provided them to patients. They were out in the reception counter to take. And I worked with the local school, so I improved the relationship with the clinic and the school, told the older students what services were available, that they could come there. So my hope, and it's idealistic, but my hope is that I left behind a healthier community as a result of my lessons. And Teddy touched on this, but going beyond what is asked of you, I think is great. I was asked to do a lot of things that were not included in my initial plan. I helped do grant research and grant writing with the co-director of the organization. And then the little girl who's pictured there, she was one of our patients probably a month in when I got there. And I ended up having to get her, finding her birth certificate. She never had a birth certificate. Getting a birth certificate, a visa, fundraising, and finding a doctor to operate on her. She's now a healthy 9-year-old. She was about to die of heart failure, and we got her to Germany. And so this was not at all part of my initial plan, but it made the experience all that rewarding, and I was able to get to know her family more. And so going beyond what is expected of you can be just as rewarding for you as it is for the organization and the individual. In terms of personal and professional benefits, I gained a lot from this experience. I had one more semester after I came back to BU, so I had great anecdotal experiences to bring into the classroom. We don't do a full thesis. We do a final culminating experience, which is just a smaller thesis, and I chose to do that on sexual and reproductive health in primary schools in Tanzania, which came from my experience teaching over there. And in terms of applying for a job, I now had additional experience, international experience under my belt. I had proven cultural competency. My Swahili had improved. I had a new network. So I truly believe this helped me to get my current job, which is now managing, helping to support Backstop on projects in East Africa. So in summary, you don't have to settle for anything. If you want to do an international practicum, there's nothing that should stop you from doing it. If you want to go to a new place, that's great. If you want to return to somewhere you've been, I think that's great too and has a lot of value. If you require financial assistance, look for it on the internet, via your personal networks, and even unlikely places like your gym. Perhaps the patrons of your gym will be more giving than mine. So you can fund this experience without dipping into your personal bank account or taking on a loan. It takes a lot of time and effort, but I think it's worth it. And as Joanna said, culture trumps everything. You need to be conscientious of the people you're around. You're entering their environment, and just because you've been in the classroom and feel like you have this lofty knowledge about what's best, this is their culture, and you need to respect it. Be flexible. Time is different. There are different situations, but be flexible and patient. Work hard and have fun.